This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're being held hostage by terrorists. We'll talk about that tonight. We have some tough polling numbers. We're going to talk about that. Senator Ron Johnson is here. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. So this is going to come back to the fact that we have long wait times at the airports and the Democrat Party is terrorizing America on purpose. But before we get to that, I want to get to this. Let's do two different high schools, shall we? Just stay with me here. One high school is an inner city high school in a black neighborhood. All right? Inner city high school, black neighborhood. Now, close your eyes and tell me, what is a football coach like? What's he look like? What's he act like? What's a football coach like? You already know, don't you? Okay, gotcha. It's obviously he's going to be a hard-charging black dude, undoubtedly played. You know that. Okay, all right. Now, set that aside. Let's go to my area. Now, I'm in the Houston area, but I'm in the lily-white suburbs of Houston. White suburbs. What's a football coach look like? How do you know? In life, we oftentimes think that leaders, that they're the ones who are in control of everything, but so often, in so many different ways in life, the leaders are a reflection of the people. I mean, I say at the bottom, that's not the right way to put it, but I went to community college, so that's the way I'm going to put it. The leaders are a reflection of the people at the bottom. What the people at the bottom want, what they look like, what they act like, will eventually filter up, and those will be the people who lead. In so many situations in life, that's where we are, which brings us to the modern Democrat Party and brings us to a living hell you may have gone through, or at least you've witnessed, at least on social media, over the past week or two, three, four, 5 hour lines at the airport, lines wrapping around the airport. And according to Sean Duffy, by the way, that problem's not about to get better, it's about to get worse.
Some 400 TSA officers have quit since the shutdown began. You said that the lines we've been seeing so far will be child's play if this goes on much longer. How bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to be this week?
So I think as we look forward to Friday, that's when the next paycheck should come. And if this Homeland Security funding isn't resolved, I think you're going to see more TSA agents as we come to Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. They're going to quit or they're not going to show up. A lot of the starting salaries at TSA, they're right around $50,000. So if you live in, you know, one of the big cities of America, LA or New York or Miami, it's hard for these individuals already to make their ends meet. But without getting paychecks, it's even that much more challenging. And so they're going to take other jobs to put food on the table and pay the rent. So I do think it's going to get much worse.
It's going to get worse. And I know Donald Trump brought in ICE today trying to give some relief, but it's going to get worse. Why is it going to get worse? They just laid it out quite clearly. Democrats have chosen to shut down the government. DHS is funded with TSA. Just keep that in mind. DHS, TSA, it's kind of the same funding package. Democrats are desperate to not have illegals deported. Democrats want to bring in as many illegals into this country as possible, and they're desperate to keep them here once they are here. That's what this entire thing is about. We'll come back to the people in a moment. The problem is TSA is part of that funding package. So Democrats have come out and said no funding for this particular package. Now TSA agents, who are not wealthy individuals, as you just heard, they're not high-earning individuals, they're simply not getting paid. Well, for most of my life, honestly, for probably three-quarters of my life, I would say, I lived pretty much paycheck to paycheck. I had to get paid to make my mortgage, to make my car payment, to make the insurance, the same way you live. This is how people live. You're asking TSA agents to go 2-3 weeks without pay. They're doing, honestly, what any normal person would do. I got a cough. I'm not coming in today. Sorry, I'm sick. They're quitting. They're calling in sick. Now we have 3-4 hour lines at the airport, rumors of airports shutting down, but that brings us back to the Democrat Party. Why are they doing this? Hakeem Jeffries was asked.
The whole reason, as you just laid out, that DHS is not funded right now is because you're trying to push the administration to enact some policy changes on how Border Patrol and ICE act when they are out looking for illegal immigrants. And now what you're saying is that you're okay with funding TSA, which has been, I think, the biggest point of leverage that you possibly had in order to get what you want on ICE, because ICE already has its money. So what was the point of the shutdown if you're okay with funding TSA?
Well, we never approach these things that are in front of us with respect to government funding in the context of leverage.
They shut down the government, so we couldn't defund illegals. But as Dana Bash just said, ICE is already funded. They're already funded. So what's the real game here? Well, here's the game. Hakeem Jeffries actually went on a podcast, and he kind of gave away what they're actually doing. Here he was.
People, it's the reason why we are in a DHS shutdown right now, because Republicans have refused to agree to the type of bold, transformative, meaningful, and dramatic reforms we are demanding in order for the Department of Homeland Security funding bill to move forward. And I won't go through all of the demands, much of which we've talked about repeatedly in the public, but one of those demands is keep ICE out of sensitive locations. And we've defined that as schools, houses of worship, hospitals, and polling sites. We want an explicit prohibition that ICE can go nowhere near any polling sites in the United States of America. It's one of our...
Okay. Is this actually about keeping ICE out of schools and hospitals? Not really. Is it actually about keeping ICE away from polling sites? Well, maybe, because we all know illegals are voting and Democrats need those illegals to stay in office. But let's skip past all that and get to this. Here's what it's about. The Democrat voter is a sick America-hating communist for the most part now. Years and years and years of media propaganda, the education system, Democrat rhetoric themselves, Hollywood, there have been all kinds of external factors that have been working for years on the Democrat voter. You probably have a Democrat voter in your life, a liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. You know they're angry all the time, bitter, certifiably insane. They hate the United States of America, white people, Christianity. We could go down the list. These people are insane now. And they're made more insane by Democrat politicians. I admit that. The rhetoric, Hitler, Nazi, all this other stuff. But the average Democrat voter is now an insane person. So, if you're a Democrat politician, you have quite a pickle on your hands, you see. Yeah, there's 3-4 hour waits at the airport. There's no question about it. But the people who keep you in office, Hakeem Jeffries, all of them, the people who keep them in office are America-hating savages. And they're America-hating savages who demand some wins from you. You think there aren't Democrats in the House and the Senate, elected Democrats, who know that, hey, we should just fund this thing and open up the airports and get on with it? Of course there are. But they can't go ahead and vote for these things, because then they'll promptly be voted out of office by the savages who make up the Democrat Party. I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the scumbag Democrat voters. There are millions of them across the United States of America. They're completely bonkers. They believe stopping Trump is the ultimate goal, even though they can't even necessarily define what that means. They believe deporting illegals is tantamount to the Holocaust. These people have lost their ever-loving minds. And now one of the two major political parties in the United States of America is beholden to these people, making the Democrat Party a terrorist party. Now, they must terrorize the United States of America every chance they get, because that's what Democrat voters demand. They're demanding it over and over and over and over again. And I have even worse news for you here, because I mentioned earlier, I know Donald Trump brought ICE into the airports today, and I applaud him for that. Good, we gotta keep the trains running here. We have to have air travel. That's how the country moves. We have to have that. So I understand all that. But here's the really terrible news, and honestly, it genuinely is terrible. This is a Band-Aid. It's just a Band-Aid. If you want to be a 30,000-foot view, big picture kind of a person, where you take a step back, you zoom out, and you look at the United States of America and where we are, we can't continue like this. No, I know we're going to be fine for another year in the midterms. I understand all that. I'm talking about big picture perspective. I have children, two sons. They will, Lord willing, you never know, they will have children. Their children's children. Are they going to have a United States of America? I don't know that. I can't tell you that. How long can a country survive like this, where you have two major political parties? We'll set aside the useless idiots in the GOP, but one of the two major political parties, the voters in that party, are demanding they terrorize the United States of America at every turn. How can this go on? Well, the simple answer is it can't. Something's going to break. How and when? I don't know. Hopefully never. Hopefully they wake up. Hopefully things change. But we can't go on like this. All right? We're going to talk to Senator Ron Johnson about this and other things in a moment. Before we talk to the senator, I want to talk to you about how good you feel, your energy level, your mood. Look, there's all kinds of crap to feel bad about right now, isn't there? I'm still walking around with a smile on my face. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. What are you doing to make sure your T levels are up? You're drinking estrogen, it's in your water. We shower in it, it's awful. But Chalk can turn that around for you. Natural herbal supplements at Chalk can change your life, will change your life, but they can only do it if you start. You're 60, 90 days away from feeling like going for a walk after work. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. Go get a subscription, save some money. We'll be back.
It is unacceptable for workers and travelers in entire airports to get taken hostage in political games. But that's what the Republicans are doing. It is unacceptable to say we will only pay TSA workers if it is attached to a bill that funds ICE with no reforms. But that's what the Republicans have been doing. Democrats want to pay TSA workers ASAP with no strings attached.
I wonder what the truth of that is. Granted, it's Chuck Schumer, so I think we probably already know. Joining me now, great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Hey, Senator, is Chuck Schumer telling the truth?
You know, it's just galling to listen to him. You know, if you want to single out one individual who has done more destruction to Congress, to the Senate, put America on a path of destruction, is Senator Chuck Schumer. The guy is just brazen. Now, you can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. I mean, it's Democrats who refused to fund DHS. You know, now they're trying to carve out different elements, which, again, puts you on a slippery slope. But no, it's just, like, as I said, it's just galling to listen to him speak.
Okay, Senator, so I think we understand the game pretty clearly here. They want to separate out the ICE funding from TSA funding. That way they can fund TSA, not look like the insane people they are, while defunding ICE, even though ICE is already funded yet. But is that even something that we should be considering? Because that sounds like caving to me.
Well, again, it's not a good precedent. Again, we've always in the past attached defense spending, DHS funding to which are priorities for Republicans, because we think defense of our nation, defense of our homeland is the top priority of government. Democrats don't. They want to spend money on welfare programs to make more Americans dependent. So you've paired the two. Now, the result is we spend more on both items, put us into $39 trillion worth of debt. But that's been the deal. They keep breaking the deal. I mean, what Chuck Schumer has done repeatedly throughout his time in Congress is he keeps breaking precedent after precedent, tradition after tradition, norm after norm. And now we are in a complete state of dysfunction. The Senate is totally broken. I've been here 15 years. We should have passed 180 appropriation bills before the fiscal year in which they are funding. We passed six. It's a 96% failure rate. And that is a great deal of their responsibility falls on the shoulders of Chuck Schumer.
Okay. Why, Senator? And it's not like I've ever been a fan of Chuck Schumer, but this seems far to the left of him. This seems like AOC, and I guess in a way maybe it is AOC. What's the angle here?
Well, I think Chuck is always a little concerned of a primary against him in New York. So he's been kind of coddling up to the more radical left. Again, we have the same issue in Republicans. You have far right, far left pulls our support in those directions. And so if you're a little less moderate than, or a little more moderate than the extreme right or left, you've got an issue. And Chuck Schumer certainly has that issue on his left.
Okay. Now let's talk about how Republicans are messaging this, because it seems simple, but then again, I'm a simple man. Democrats are defunding TSA and creating three-hour lines at the airport because they don't want foreigners deported. I mean, it seems like a fairly simple thing. How are we messaging it?
Well, unfortunately, except for shows like this, alternate media, you know, a couple conservative outlets, the vast majority of the legacy media is for the Democrats. My wife was listening to a reporter at TSA, this is a couple of weeks ago, maybe passengers are a little bit wiser to it now, but not one of them that he interviewed understood what was happening. They just thought, well, it's spring break. This happens, you know, long lines. They had no idea that, no, the reason you have this long line is because Democrats have refused to fund DHS now for weeks, and they're not caving. They're not backing down because this is their game plan. Not having open borders, not having any kind of control over our elections is existential to their game plan of turning this nation into a one-party state. So again, they're going to dig their heels in. They're going to die on this hill, and they're aided and abetted by the legacy media.
Okay, how does it end then? Because by the sounds of things, they're not incentivized to stop. We don't want to cave on it. So is it airports shutting down across the country? Is that where we're going?
No, a lot of people have proposed this, but you know, we do fund other agencies, and then you come back immediately with reconciliation and fund Customs Border Patrol and ICE for many, many years. Again, would that work? I don't know. There are other proposals out there. You know, we wouldn't be in this position, Jesse, if everybody who guaranteed to me that we would pass the Shutdown Fairness Act, that we'd attach to every must-pass piece of legislation coming out of the House. This promise was made to me in December before we passed any appropriation bills. The problem is we didn't attach Shutdown Fairness Act to the appropriation bills that came up from the House. And why? Because House appropriators didn't like it. The dirty little secret here in town is that the appropriators are kind of a uniparty. They actually live on these shutdown threats. That is how they pass bills that we can't afford. And it's done on a bipartisan basis. Again, it's one of the reasons we're $39 trillion in debt. But all those assurances given to me by the president, by the leader, by the speaker, They weren't honored, so we didn't pass Shutdown Fairness Act, which would have paid the TSA agents. That's all my bill really did, is pay the people on time. They're going to get paid anyway. And when this is all said and done, those TSA agents, they're going to get all their back pay. It's not like we're saving any money. We're just putting them through hell. You know, most of these people, they're living paycheck to paycheck, right? They're not the most highly paid government employees. They can't afford not to get a paycheck for 4, 5, 6 weeks. But that's exactly what Democrats are doing. It's disgusting.
Where are we at with the SAVE Act?
Well, we've got it on the floor. Again, my proposal would have been put it on the floor, fill the amendment tree, which we've done, but fill it with amendments that we make the Democrats vote on day after day after day that highlight that they're opposed to things that 70, 80% of American people are supportive of. We haven't done that. We've had one amendment vote. It happened during the weekend. We didn't even have all of our senators here, so we didn't even get 50 votes for that. And that would have been preventing, you know, boys from competing in girls' sports. So we're not doing this the way I propose, which is start with the basic bill, which, again, has got popular elements. Democrats are saying, well, we're not opposed to voter ID. Okay, we'll vote for this. You know, citizenship. They have a hard time opposing that. Then what we should have done is through an amendment process, build that bill up. Even if the amendments wouldn't pass, because those are 60-vote thresholds, we can at least prove, okay, Republicans favor that. At the end, you assemble a substitute amendment, and that's what you vote on. But instead, we filed our substitute amendment right away, and it's got restrictions on mail-in voting that even some Republicans, because their states really do rely on mail-in balloting because they're rural, that type of thing, not even sure you can pass out the Republican votes. So the strategy from the start of how we've done this, from my standpoint, has been flawed. Now, it's not too late. Hopefully, leadership will get their act together and get the tree in order so we start making Democrats get on the record on all these nasty amendments from their standpoint. Again, that's what we feared with a true talking filibuster, which would have put them in control of the amendments an unlimited amount. That's why a true talking filibuster never worked, because offering amendment is not considered a speech. The two-speech rule doesn't kick in to limit debate. They could offer unlimited amendments, an infinite number, could have put a lot of pressure on a lot of our members, so our conference was going to not agree to that. So that's why I propose, let's do it this way. Get it on the floor, fill the amendment tree, but we control the amendments. We're just not doing a very good job of controlling the amendments and getting, you know, our message out in the media. Nobody listens to speeches on the Senate floor. You have to do this in an organized fashion. Give yourself 2, 3, 4 days on each amendment. Have us all out there on media, on these shows, on, you know, network TV and stuff talking about. No, what we're talking about now in this amendment is we want to provide protections for our girls in sports. You're not going to get federal funding if you allow boys to compete with our little girls, okay? That would be a popular message. Did you even hear about this? I mean, we voted on that on Saturday.
Senator, keep plugging away. Appreciate you. What a big old mess the Senate is. They just suck, don't they? Don't they just suck? Well, something else that sucks is some polling numbers. We're going to have an adult conversation, you and me. Just a couple of adults. Let's talk about where we are. Before we talk about where we are, let's talk about your belly. Your stomach, to be specific. I've had to hear this for years from my wife about your gut health is everything. It all comes from the gut. And you know, be that as it may, you have to take care of your gut better than I was. Started to get heartburn all the time. Started complaining about it to my sister. My sister tells me, hey, I've been taking cowboy colostrum. I think she puts it in milk every morning. I said, cowboy colostrum? I didn't even know what colostrum was. Started it. I put a couple scoops in my coffee, actually. I have the chocolate. It's delicious. A couple scoops. I haven't had heartburn once. I haven't had those belly aches once. I don't feel good. Not one time. Try one little tub of it. You will be in love. They have all kinds of flavors. It's amazing. CowboyColostrum.com. Code JesseTV. We'll be back. Couple things, just real quick, because we're going to move on. We have to talk about lawfare and everything else. Couple things. Remember that you and I, we do not decide elections. I wish we did. You are informed. I'm informed. The hardcore GOP voter does not decide elections. The independent voter does. It sucks. The people who blow this way and that way, I'll vote for a Democrat, I'll vote for a Republican. They're all over the map. These are the people who decide elections, okay? So we have some poll numbers out and they're terrible. We have a midterm election coming up and Trump has a 60% disapproval rating. He is being disapproved of. This is not by you and me, so don't email me. I love it. Stop. Talking about independence. Immigration, Iran, economy, inflation. Okay, what's wrong with these people? Are they stupid? They're not stupid. They're just not informed. They don't have any idea about anything. They go whichever way the wind blows. They also feel very strongly about this. 66% of independents, 66%, say that the Trump administration is not focused enough on domestic matters. All that's happening while Lindsey Graham goes on the news every single night and says stuff like this.
Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil. Control that island. Let this regime down a vine.
Is this going to, though, take Karg Island? Is it going to involve U.S. troops on the ground? Let me just read you something from the Atlantic. Does an assessment on that. They say U.S. troops may well take Karg Island. We believe right. their ability to do so, but only to endure ballistic missile strikes, drone attacks, petrochemical smoke, all without a reliable means of obtaining logistical support. The result could be a grinding war of attrition. They talk about how far away they would be from resupply.
I'm sort of tired of all this armchair quarterback, and this has been an amazing military operation. God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference when we talk about troops on the ground.
I trust the Marines, not that guy. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine expeditionary units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this.
We lost over 6,000 Marines on Iwo Jima. Lindsey Graham is going to get us destroyed in the midterms. Might want to call him, Mr. President. Tell him to shut his mouth. We'll move on. Talk about lawfare stuff. Before we talk about lawfare stuff, let's talk about your phone. You got to switch up your phone plan because you're spending too much money and you're patronizing a company that hates your freaking guts. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile hate you. They haven't changed their ways. They've moved some titles around. They're still doing all the same things they used to do. When Pure Talk's sitting there on the same towers, they'll save you money. They're run by a Vietnam veteran. Why wouldn't you switch? We're talking phone lines for $25 a month. Unlimited talk, text, plenty of data. That's crazy. That's Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
What does a Project 2029 agenda look like for you?
I don't think you can speak of it in shorthand, but I'll just say a couple of things that I think are absolutely necessary. One is we've got to restore the rule of law, and that means holding people accountable who've broken the law. I'm talking about in this administration, when we get a new one, the people in this administration who've broken the law and federal agents who've broken the law need to be held accountable.
And that means criminally prosecuted.
Criminally prosecuted, civilly prosecuted, you know, whatever it is that we can do.
Oh, we're in a pretty healthy place. Joining me now, Robert Gouveia, criminal defense attorney, host of Watching the Watchers. Robert, I mean, everything else aside, zooming out, as I talked about in this show, how can a country continue long term when one of the two political parties has degraded this much? I hate to black pill, but it's hard to see getting the band back together when we've gotten here.
It is difficult. Yeah, and Jesse, thanks for having us. I think that we should listen to the Democrats when they say things like this because they have a strong track record of unleashing lawfare against their political opponents. And that is not how our country was set up. We can't continue to just indict each other until we have a political party in power. And it seemingly has been something that they've been doing for years now. We lived through a lot of what happened in 2016 and the aftermath of Trump winning and beating Hillary Clinton. They did it again in 2020. They tried to take Trump off the playing field with multiple indictments, and they're now promising to do it again. So I think that it's not blackpilling per se, it's really reality. And I think if the Republicans are not playing at least to stop this from happening and starting to create institutions and infrastructure to prevent it from occurring, that it's going to happen again. And they're not playing around when it comes to these things. We talk about them playing politics like crackheads. They just grab onto whatever they can, and they use every single tool available, even if there is not any evidence of crimes. They just make it up, and it turns into years-long prosecutions. And I think it disincentivizes a lot of people on our side, or on, you know, Team America's side, who want to go back to a system where we have democracy and, you know, voting is how we dictate who is governing. All of that goes out the window when you just try to put your opponents in jail, and it doesn't bode well for the future.
What should Republicans be doing now? You mentioned creating institutions. What should Republicans be doing in anticipation that these people will come back to power one day? God forbid, but it's going to happen. What should we be doing now that we're not doing?
Well, the first thing is accountability. I mean, right now we have a bunch of bad actors who are just running around free, who have not faced any consequences of their perversion of the law. We've got a bunch of people from 2016, the Russia collusion hoax, guys like John Brennan, Obama's former CIA director, James Clapper. We've got, the list goes on and on. If you go into 2020, we've got all of the Trump prosecutors, people like Jack Smith, Fannie Willis, and the list goes on and on. But right now, they're free. There's really been nothing that has come down to disincentivize their side from doing these things. And we saw that the President Trump, did come out. He issued a bunch of executive orders against some of the law firms that were engaging and supporting and facilitating a lot of these types of legal attacks. And my concern is that if this type of stuff doesn't lead to real world consequences other than just some sanctions, that when the Democrats, if and when they come back in, they're just going to reverse a lot of these executive orders, and they'll be able to recreate the institutions that enabled a lot of this. And so Republicans should be really focused on prosecutions and uncovering the real bad actors who are deeply inside and embedded inside the DOJ and the FBI to make sure that they're purged from these institutions. I think there's been a little bit of progress on that, but ultimately, if the Republicans don't, you know, put people in jail, charge people with crimes, just like they did to many of the people who were on Trump's campaign, people like General Flynn and Roger Stone and a bunch of other people were subject to years of harassment. You know, the J6 committee unleashed hell on all sorts of people, from media figures all the way down to, you know, to the J6ers, many of whom were peacefully protesting. You can see, I think, a side-by-side on this. We had organized insurgencies and organized insurrections that were basically taking place in places like Minnesota and elsewhere, where they're fighting back against federal agents, you know, impeding them and obstructing their work to go and arrest illegal aliens. And the DOJ thus far has kind of just allowed a lot of that behavior to continue. And I think if this were on the opposite hand, if, you know, this was the Democrats who were in charge of these institutions, that it would be just like we saw after J6. It was basically a multi-year dragnet across the country. Even guys like Sean Hannity were getting letters from Liz Cheney demanding to know, you know, every single thing he did, every single person he talked to make his life hell. And I think that disincentivizes people from, you know, activating, from getting involved in the political process, which is the entire point of why they weaponize these institutions. So there need to be repercussions for that. And there, you know, are some things that seem like they're happening behind the scenes with this grand conspiracy investigation. We know that subpoenas are coming out. But as it stands, things have been pretty quiet out there. And the Republicans and the Trump administration is investigating a lot of these things. But the Democrats just play, I think, at a different level of intensity. They pull out all the stops. They're not even looking for evidence. They just make it up, like with the Russia collusion hoax, with the classified annex, and the list goes on and on. But it's kind of a different level of urgency between the two sides. And I think if the Republicans were able to stand up their own institutions, like the Democrats, what they do is they'll put people in government. So you'll see that they go from a couple of different paths. They'll go into the government, they'll be FBI agents, they'll be prosecutors. One guy that comes to mind is Andy McCabe, former FBI agent and high up in the Trump prosecutions, created a lot of lawfare against the president. Soon as he is out of the FBI, he goes and gets cushy media gigs, right? He gets these nice deals. and is able to continue to build the institution. So there's this handshake that goes on between the government and between law firms and the media. Other people will go to law firms, they'll exit the DOJ, go get a big fat salary from another law firm entity. And then when the Democrats are back in power, they go back from these legal institutions and right back into the government, creating this flywheel of support. And the Republicans aren't doing, as far as I can tell, much of that. We do have some other organizations that are popping up, like America First Legal, and some other groups are working to build these institutions. But the balance between the two sides, I think, is still massively outweighed. The Democrats are, you know, maybe 50 or 100x more established than the right.
Rob, you brought up the grand conspiracy case. James Comey was just subpoenaed in this case. Can you elaborate on this for those of us like me who are dumb and don't understand this law stuff? Why James Comey? Who's going to burn? What's happening here? Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, this is the big one. So this is originating out of Florida, the Southern District of Florida. And it's a little different than some of the other cases that we've seen. A lot of criminality that we just kind of discussed, I think, occurred in Washington, D.C. The problem with prosecuting anybody in Washington, D.C. is you've got a very liberal jury. So you've got D.C.'s made up of, you know, 94%, I think, voted for Kamala Harris in the last election. And you've got a bunch of very leftist judges. And so bringing subpoenas, issuing search warrants, getting convictions is a very difficult thing in Washington, D.C. So what we're now working on in the Southern District of Florida is a grand conspiracy investigation. And this is being led by a guy named Jason Quinones. And he's in a jurisdiction that's much more favorable. And he's actually in the same district as Judge Eileen Cannon. And so people may remember the classified documents case where Trump's house got raided by Jack Smith as part of a lawfare operation. That was all led by Judge Cannon. And she, as far as we can tell, is one of the few district federal court judges who actually adheres to the law. And so that case ultimately got dismissed because Jack Smith, the prosecutor in that case, was illegitimate. He was illegally appointed. He was illegally taking government funding, illegal apportionment of funds, and should have never been prosecuting the case in the first place. As we were mentioning earlier, they just kind of cobble these things together. These types of rules don't even matter to them. But in this district now, we've got Jason Quinones, who is sending out the report from Axios is over 130 subpoenas have gone out to a lot of the people that I mentioned earlier. And a couple of key figures who are now under subpoena are Obama's former CIA director called John Brennan. John Brennan was one of the guys, along with James Comey and James Clapper. So you can think about it. Obama's in the Oval Office right after Trump wins the election. He beats Hillary Clinton back in 2016. And what happens is they freak out about this. Nobody expected it. A lot of the New York Times polls and everything, all those little meters showed that Hillary was going to win unequivocally. It was going to be a, you know, foregone conclusion. So she loses, and they need some sort of attack vector to now dog the entire administration. So they create this Russia collusion hoax, and the whole thing is made up. So Obama, in December 2016, Trump's about to come into office in 2017, he gets a presidential daily briefing. Obama comes to his desk, and the PDB says that there's no evidence of Russian interference, long story short, summarizing, in the 2016 election. Now, they don't like that answer because they need something to ultimately lead into the Russia collusion hoax. We heard it every single night, Russia collusion. Jake Tapper couldn't stop saying it. And ultimately, that turned into the Robert Mueller special counsel investigation, which was years of hell. People got sent to jail for that, put in prison for that. But it also dogged the entire administration for years, right? Everybody was focused on that. So Trump's agenda was kind of stolen from him during those first years. So there was a group of people who were in the room. The presidential daily briefing gets pulled out and a new one comes in. And Obama then, based on this new PDB, says, oops, we've maybe found some Russia collusion, orders a new intelligence assessment to be created. It's called an ICA. And they went and basically concocted this whole story. And the people who were behind it were John Brennan, Obama's CIA director, James Clapper, Obama's director of national intelligence. And we saw James Comey was also in that room when these meetings were happening. And what they did is they created essentially a fake report. I mean, there's really no other way to explain it. And we know that it's bad is because, you know, Trump now is back in office. We have newly declassified assessments that have been conducted. So Trump's new CIA director, John Ratcliffe, and Tulsi Gabbard, the new director of national intelligence, the people who came and replaced those people, ultimately concluded that they raced through this new ICA. They had to create it very quickly from about mid-December until January 6th, 7th, maybe 2017. So they do this very compressed assessment, and it was all manufactured, and they were basing a large part of it on this thing called the Steele dossier, which I think people probably remember from being in the news. But the Steele dossier was basically campaign propaganda that Hillary Clinton generated. So when she was running, she had her classified email document scandal, and they needed a counter narrative. So they went to a law firm that hired another third party that went and picked up this Steele dossier, which is the Russian PP tape. Trump goes to Moscow and, you know, likes to, they're urinating on the bed, all that stuff, all made up. The intelligence is a total joke, but they shove it into this classified report, this 2017 ICA, and they tuck it back in this very secret classified annex that nobody can really see. They compartmentalize the entire report. So various factions of our intelligence agencies are cobbling together this ultimate assessment, and people can't see what's going on. They can't see that the pretext for why there's Russia collusion is based on this Hillary Clinton campaign propaganda, ultimately. And this assessment comes out, and then it launches a lot of the Russia collusion hoax narrative that they then rode for years. And they were also, at the time, leaking to the media. So before the ICA even came out, guys like Comey and Clapper and Brennan, some of the highest level officials in our intelligence communities, were all essentially, they were the ones doing the colluding to create this fictional narrative. And Comey was ultimately then later indicted by the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan. And in that indictment, he was charged with lying to Congress about being a leaker, ultimately. And he was leaking to another guy, in my opinion, named Daniel Richmond, who was in facilitating a lot of this stuff, passing it off to the media. So they were kind of getting on both ends. They were doing their own concocted reports that were fake based on Hillary Clinton campaign propaganda, and then also simultaneously leaking it to the media. So this new grand conspiracy case is investigating all of the people who were involved in there. And as I mentioned, over 130 subpoenas have gone out, and they're very nervous about this. John Brennan, who was the former CIA director under Obama, one of the masterminds behind this, during the Russia collusion hoax, he was encouraging people. There's a quote in one of the summaries that have come out now, doing a hindsight 2020 look on this, that he was encouraging people, like, well, it sounds true, doesn't it? They were objecting, saying it's not true. It's like, it's close enough, isn't it? And ultimately, this report comes together. It becomes the pretext for a bunch of investigations, and then it turns into the Robert Mueller investigation, which then, you know, led the country through this whole charade for multiple years that really, I think, stole a lot of time from the Trump administration and is all illegal. They were lying and they were manipulating the evidence, in this case, making it up. And now they're under investigation out of the Southern District of Florida. A grand jury has been impaneled, and it sounds like the investigation is continuing to heat up because now Comey has gotten a subpoena, and they're nervous about this. John Brennan sent a letter over to the chief judge in Florida. The current judge who's monitoring a lot of this is being reported is Judge Eileen Cannon. She's the same judge who disqualified Jack Smith, the prosecutor who ultimately inherited the classified documents case and inherited the evidence from the raid. So Brennan, the former CIA director, is now urging the chief judge in this massive letter he sent saying, you know, please don't basically allow this investigation to continue, because I think he knows that if it does and he's indicted, it's going to lead to a lot of problems for him and everybody else who's involved in this massive conspiracy.
Yeah. Lord willing, it is. I hope they all burn. Rob, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Lighten the mood. Next. You know what I love? When communists fail. It cracks me up. And Gavin Newsom is a slick customer. He's been out there. He's already running for president. Everyone knows it. And he's been out there going on all these different podcasts, working very, very hard to try to sound normal, try to sound like a moderate. He wants to, I can talk to anybody. You know, I'm going to go on Sean Ryan's show. But the problem is for Gavin Newsom, not only is he not normal, his wife is a certified crazy person, a complete commie witch. And so as Gavin Newsom has been busting his butt trying to appeal to the normies, here's his wife.
There's so much to learn from same-sex couples who have learned to communicate and who also are like, well, look, you know, someone's got to do the care work in a same-sex male couple. Someone's got to do that, so I'm just going to do it. And this is like, and not be afraid or ashamed because it's part of being human. We're all on a spectrum, right? It's just how society kind of pushes us and pressures us into these limiting gender roles. But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is, just this, they're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately, it's just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not going to be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now and they're woke and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
Good luck, Gavin. It's going to play well. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.